open up your Bibles with me. If you've got one with you, if you see a pew Bible, if you've got it on your phone, this scripture from Colossians has a lot of big theology in there. And it may be that if you're like me, you might want to look over it a couple of times and rehearse the words. So if you've got a Bible close by, open it up and stick your finger there in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. It's in the New Testament, and this is actually a letter that was written by Paul and Timothy to a young church in the city of Colossae. That's where the word Colossians comes from. Our verses this morning share this ancient hymn of praise. These words would have been like one of the first professions of faith, one of the first ways that people figured out how to confess who Jesus is, and indeed, it is all about Jesus. So hear these words from Paul and Timothy written to the church at Colossae and to us today. They say, He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. Christ himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of God. For us, the people of God, thanks be to God. I don't know about you, but when I first read that scripture a few weeks ago, as we were looking at this sermon series on abiding in the reign of God, I read that particular scripture, and I was filled then, just as I'm filled today, with these equal parts of wonder and confusion, a lot of awe, and a lot of gratitude. There's just so much packed into just five small verses in this letter from Paul and Timothy. Jesus described as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In Christ, all things in heaven and on earth are created through him and for him. Even the rulers and the powers of this world, somehow in Christ, all things hold together. Isn't that reassuring? Christ is to have first place in everything. In our hearts, in our lives, all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell in Christ. And through Christ, God reconciles all things by making peace through the blood of his cross. Those words are almost too much to comprehend, aren't they? I read these words, and I, the one who stands here as pastor and preacher, the one who went to seminary, the one whom you all might think has more answers than questions, you know, I read this scripture, and I am filled with wonder. I think to myself, how can Jesus be so familiar to me and yet so mysterious all at the same time? How can Jesus be the one who has taken on human form, and as we will celebrate in the coming weeks, how can he be this God who is born in the form of this vulnerable baby, dependent upon us, reckless, thoughtless, distracted, and goofy human beings? God depends on us to survive and to grow up as a young person. How can Christ, the Holy Son of God, become the carpenter, teacher, the traveling preacher, the healing rabbi, the son of Mary and Joseph from a humble home in the middle of nowhere, Nazareth? How can Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah of the world, be the one who walked among us, interacted with us, was surprised by our faith? He got hungry, a lot, apparently. He dined all the time with all sorts of people. How is it that the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, weeps when his dear friend Lazarus dies, even as he somehow knows that he has the power to raise Lazarus back from the dead? How is it that the fullness of God dwells within this very human man, Jesus, who was not only born to a world that held no room for him at the end, but who also died in the most cruel and painful and public of ways? God on a cross, an innocent recipient of the death penalty in a Roman Empire built on the backs of those who were suffering persecution and oppression and struggle and pain. Why and how on earth is it that God comes to us in this way? I read this scripture and I think of Christ the King, and I find that I am almost always amazed, humbled, that I'm often confused and perplexed in the best and most grace-filled of ways, and ultimately so profoundly grateful for that amazing grace, that extravagant love that I have come to know in Christ and yet realize I may never fully comprehend. Christ the King, Emmanuel, God with us, the servant, the shepherd, the teacher, the healer, the son, and the friend, fully human, fully divine, the one who brings true peace through a love that just seems to give and give and give. This scripture is all about Jesus. And in these days, when I turn on the TV, maybe when I look at the newspaper or scroll through my social media feed, and I cringe at how mean-spirited we can be, how critical and caustic, how simply harsh and judgmental we are, sometimes with ourselves, sometimes with one another. In these days when I am trying desperately to watch my own words and behaviors because there are little eyes watching me and tender hearts learning from me. In these days where I see our students and our young people looking for both permission to lead, to be brave and bold in who God is calling them to be, while at the same time looking at us old folks and searching for those who would model for them an integrity of heart, a compassion of spirit. In these days when each one of us is looking for direction and purpose, courage to live for God and God's world instead of for ourselves and our own selfish ways, I think this morning how desperately I need to hear these words of faith. As I find myself both in awe and wonder at how amazing Christ the King is, however, I am equally mindful of how challenging it can be in our lives to focus on Christ in the midst of the brokenness we share in this world. Just as the Colossian church was struggling to understand who Jesus Christ is and all that God in Christ has done for them, these precious holy words from Paul and Timothy remind us and them that in the end, it is ultimately not all about us, but it is about Jesus. Christ, who is to have first place in everything. And this ancient and holy profession of faith reminds us that Christ is all and is in all the fullness of God, walking around here on earth with us, making right all that is wrong, binding up all that is broken, reconciling us to God by making peace through the blood of his cross. Friends, this morning, that is good news today. Can I get an amen? Amen. This scripture is shouting out to us that all we are, all this world is because of Christ, not because of you or me. The good news of this scripture is that this right here, this is not my world. This right here is not your world. This is God's world. This is not the world of the Roman Empire or even the American Empire. This is God's world. This is not the world of hate crimes and fear, of scarcity and greed, of injustice and oppression, of bullying and violence. This is God's world. And what the scripture today challenges the church in Colossae and the church in the sanctuary today is to ask ourselves, how are we going to live in God's world? How are we going to make sure that Christ is first place in our hearts and our lives in this world that belongs to God? Because all of that hatred and fear, that can get a strong hold on us, can't it? Can it just bury itself in our hearts and our minds? It can be tempting to believe that there's not enough in this world for all of us, that all that greed and injustice, oppression and violence, all those reasons we tell ourselves and others that we don't need to offer more grace or patience or understanding or love or even time to those with whom we disagree or don't understand. You know, all those things can and will pull us away from the God that we come to know in Jesus Christ if we give in to the temptation to think that it is all about us. Friends, on this Christ the King Sunday, as we consider the holy mystery that is Jesus, fully human, fully divine, a friend who walks with us in all the pain and joy of life, and yet this Savior who has died for us so that we can live out God's gracious love in this life and in the next. As we consider the holy mystery of belonging to God's world, God's kingdom, the reign of Christ, friends, we need this scripture today. But it's a lot, right? It's a lot to take in. And so you know me, I want to offer us something a little more tangible. Today, I want to close us out with a few questions. And if you received the e-news and if you read your e-news, then maybe you've already been thinking about this a little bit. And we're going to put the questions on the screen behind me, but I want us to think through some of these because I think they can help focus us on the reign of Christ in this world, right? So just like maybe towards the end of the regular year, you might sit and you might work through one of those planners that helps you think through what went well last year. What are my hopes for next year? You might think of this week as the in-between season for the Christian year, because next week we worship the Christ child. We got to get ready because he's coming, but we're not there yet. And it's good for us to pause and think about the reign of Christ in our daily lives. So first question, and I want to invite you to write these down maybe. Grab a pen. There should be one close by. You've got some sermon note space in your bulletin. You could write on the back of that poinsettia form, but don't tell Shirley I told you that. Only if you're not ready to turn it in, of course. First question, what does it mean to you to confess that Christ is King? What does it mean to you to confess that Christ is King? That's kind of a hard question, so I want to encourage you to think about it, and I want to encourage you to read this scripture every day this week. That will help. Write down what's in your heart. And be as specific as you possibly can be. What does it mean to you to confess that Christ is King? If you're not sure where to start, perhaps you begin by reading the Gospels, describing the kind of King Christ is. You look at how he lived his life on earth. And what did he do? He was always healing, teaching, forgiving, eating, spending time with people who looked and believed and spoke differently than him. He's called a shepherd and a peacemaker. He was the one who empowered everyone he met, a friend to the poor and the powerful alike, investing so much of himself, of his heart and wisdom, his grace and faith in anyone who dared to come close to him. This Christ the King didn't accumulate much. He never owned a home. He didn't have a traditional job. Christ the King was dependent upon other people to help provide for him and for his disciples. He was a member of a community, what we would call a community of faith, and they cared for one another and for anyone in need. What does it mean to you to confess that this Christ is King? And then secondly, what does it look like to live a life where your ultimate allegiance is to Jesus, the one who laid down his life for all? Again, think about it. Let it disrupt you a little bit. Read the scripture each day. Write down what's in your heart and be as specific as you possibly can be. What does it look like to live a life where your ultimate allegiance is to Jesus, the one who laid down his life for all? If you're not sure where to start, perhaps you begin by thinking about the lives of the disciples or the saints of the faith whom you have admired. For me, I always think about the people I call the Holy Trinity of M's, right? Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, Mr. Rogers, whom we're all hearing about a lot lately. But what does it look like for you to live each day choosing to be a kind neighbor instead of a bitter stranger, to live each day with compassion and courage instead of anger and fear, to pay more attention to your faith than to Fox News or MSNBC? What does it look like to live a life where your ultimate allegiance is to Jesus, the one who laid down his life for all? And finally, how might this world be changed if we lived according to the reign of Christ? How might this world be changed if we could live each day as faithful servants to God's kingdom, not of scarcity, but of love and grace, God's justice, and God's peace? Again, think about it. Get your imaginations, your holy imaginations going. What does this world look like if we live that way? Write down what's in your heart and be as specific as possible, because friends, following Christ, the servant King, is not always easy. But God is faithful to give us the strength and the courage we need to be God's servants in this world, that all might be reconciled to God. So friends, it is my prayer this day that we would live, daily live in the reign of Christ. Live each day like you believe God loves you and everyone you meet, because guess what? God loves you and God loves everyone you meet. Live each day loyal to Christ, the servant King, knowing that it's not all about you. It is all about Christ, and Christ the King will call you to live in God's reign as a faithful servant to God's kingdom of love and grace, justice and peace. Friends, this day may we live in the reign of Christ. Amen. Will you pray with me? Our God, as we celebrate all that you have done through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend and our King, please take our hearts, Lord, and change them in holy and healing ways, that we might be loyal to Jesus, the servant King, that we might live more faithfully in the reign of Christ, focused on Jesus, responding to his call, loving your world as Christ has loved us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray.